Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. I'm Pastor Joe, and this is my wife, Melba, right here. And we're glad you're with us tonight, aren't we?
Yeah.
Can you see him out there? I can see him, yeah. We're glad you're with us tonight. We hope you're having a good day. We've been praying for all of you across the Midwest and up into the Eastern states, and we pray that your power will be coming back on and water any difficulties you're going through. I know the president's on it for you. They're going to be taking support and take care of you in many ways. So with FEMA and other things. So we're sure praying that you're safe and that you're warm and your family is okay too. So again, welcome tonight. It's a pleasure to have you with us. We never take you for granted. We always thank God for you. You're such a blessing each and every week in our lives. And we're excited to let you know, as you probably do already, we are all people of faith. We're Christians. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we know that he came to die on a cross to pay the price for our sins so that two things take place. One, we know where every day of our life he walks and talks and guides because he's got a plan for our life. It's so great to wake up every morning and have a cup of coffee with Jesus. He's going to be taking care of you through that day. And we also know that when God calls us home, we know where we're going. We're going to be with those we love. We're going to be with him. And it's going to be an incredibly special eternity. Glad to have those answers by God's word. So, again, thanks for being with us. We pray that you know Christ as your Savior. And we pray that you look to God each day. We got a great show planned tonight. And we're going to begin, as we always do, very, very briefly. Again, people always ask. We're going to start with our team. And if you've got your computer and you go to bbsradio.com/raising expectations, that's bbsradio.com/raising expectations, you'll be able to find our team on the website there and be able to see there's last week's guests, and you'll be able to find them and learn a little bit more about them. I'm going to tell you where they are, and you'll be able to say hey to them tonight. We're going to start on the West Coast, all the way out in the Lompoc, just north of Santa Barbara. And we've got our good friend there, Dr. Paul Hall.
Hello.
Retired. There he is. He's a retired pastor, but pastors never retire. It just keeps sharing and loving and keeping on. Everybody loves Paul. He has a home church. He counsels. He works with people everywhere. And he's a blessing in my life and all of our lives. Good to see you, Paul.
Good to see you, too. Thank you.
You got it. Are you doing well?
Yeah, it's currently 55 degrees in Lompoc with a high of 64 tomorrow. But I'll tell you what. I'd take cold weather over the cost of living in California.
That's good. Absolutely. But we're going to turn that around. We're already started. That's it. So Paul and I and Melba come together and join and go all the way to the East Coast, the south side of the East Coast there. We'll be in Dalton, Georgia, and that's where two wonderful people that we love that are on our team, as you know, and that's Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And there's Dr. Craig right there. Stephanie's not with us tonight, but Craig, it's great to see you. He's a surgeon, a trauma surgeon. He's done mission work, not only surgery across the states here, but he's done mission work in Africa and the Caribbean and many places more. I don't know. He's got a great book out. That's on the website. His book is called Saved, and you want to get a copy of that. It's a great book. It's right here, and it's the story of finding God in the ordinary, and it's one trauma surgeon's true accounts of the Miracles of His Life. Saved is a great book. Great title. It'll reach out and touch and change your life. Get a copy. Share it with a friend. Use it when someone comes to you for help. Oh, yeah, and just above it, there's a third edition copy of my book, Legitimate Faith. It produces a very special authentic hope. When the pages of the Bible become more than words, and the black ink comes off the white pages and comes into your life, and you realize, boy, he's everything that he said he was, and he proves it to me each and every day. So I hope you get a copy of that. Legitimate Faith, you can get in Barnes & Noble, and you can find them listed there for you. It's a blessing to share that. I hope it blesses you in a way, both of our books. There'll be other books coming on too from people who are part of our team, and we look forward to sharing those with you. So we've been looking forward to coming across the nation again out of Dalton. We've been praying for the Thayer family in a very special way just before we go, and we'll continue those prayers for Steph and her family. And there's just things that we just love these people. They're our family. We'll be praying, Craig. So we'll come together, all of us, and head to the great state in South America, the center of South America, Texas, the state of Texas. And that is where I have to be careful because Melba's from Texas.
Yeah,
so I have to be kind of careful. Yeah,
this is America here, boy. America here. America.
That's right. It's America. That's right. Thanks, Ron. Yeah, and that is Ron Greer, Pastor Ron Greer. And he's in the great city of McKinney, Texas, and that's in the Dallas area, just north of Dallas. And Ron is a great guy. You're going to love Ron also, as you know, many of you. When you text me on things, you always say thanks for these people, and I thank God for each one of them. Ron's with the Man in the Mirror, and he's a regional area director helping men find out answers for what God's doing in their lives. And he counsels and helps them, just like Dr. Hall does on the West Coast, Paul. And Craig, he's forever a witness for Christ to everybody he meets. These are three very special men, and they're a blessing in my life. So all of us want to come together tonight. We look forward to tonight, because once again, we're going to have a very special gal with us. As you know, Janet Price is actually part of our team. We just claimed her and didn't let her out, but she's part of our team. She is with a very special group that she really helped put together in a way, Golden State Republican Women. She's the past president. She continues to pray and nurture with and for all those wonderful ladies from the whole state of California that are working so hard. You met one running for office coming up here soon. You're going to see her again next week. And she and Janet are good friends also, Elizabeth Allers. And she's dynamite, and so is Janet. You all know Janet. So we're just going to talk tonight. And we invited Janet to say from her heart a little bit about what's going on so that we can see the nation grow stronger and California turn around to grow stronger, too, in so many ways. So, Janet, we're sure glad you're with us tonight. We're going to give you the round of applause anyway. Welcome to, again, your show, Raising Expectations. Good to have you with us, sister, and give you the floor and share with us, and then kick it out.
Love being with this team. You've got a great team, Joe, that you assembled, and it's great to get to know each of you, as I have through the years. What's going on in California? Well, I think we've got a lot of warfare going on here, but you know, when I ask God, as I do every day, to let us have another Jesus revolution, another yeah. Jesus revolution across this country. And you know that movie, Jesus Revolution, which had everything to do with California, all those pastors, those big mega pastors, and that movement started right here in California. So God's not giving up on California. He created it. He created it when the earth cooled. California. And I'm very hopeful for it. We have some really great candidates, and Elizabeth is one, Joe. I had breakfast with her yesterday. And so I am hopeful, because with everything that's been happening, it's waking people up. It's absolutely opening their eyes. And a lot of them had no idea that we had been infiltrated with lies and Satan, really, for decades. So I think in California, we just got a little too comfortable and we didn't really pay attention what was happening in the schools, what was happening in the churches, what was happening business-wise. You know, people couldn't even really start a business here. It used to be a place where you could come and flourish, just flourish. So I feel that that is coming again. I really do. And so that is the wind to my back.
There you go. Amen. Well, as we look at the nation too, with California, and we've been thinking about our representative Kevin Kiley, who's a congressman, and boy, what a great job Congressman Kiley does. We've been looking. Something hit me this week, Janet. Maybe I can roll it to you and we'll pitch it out. Was seeing in Minneapolis some of the attitude. What happened in the church invasion on Sunday? Speaking of what God's doing and many of the things, and maybe chew on that a little, and then also what we saw with the man who was shot, and the more we realize of what's going on there, and maybe some thoughts about what happened even today. Every day is a new thing to see what God's
It
doing. So I may throw that out to you too. Kevin Kiley had a lot to say because California, when you look at the fraud in Minnesota and compare it to California, Ron will be gone for an hour on that one. I'm sure he's really researched that one up. But what do you think, Janet, about that?
Well, I this is all to me part of a very organized plan
Yes.
to infiltrate America, California, our churches, and to absolutely turn it away from Christ, turn it away from our Constitution, our founding fathers and the founding documents, everything that's held us steady for 250 years. They hate that. And so they've opened the doors to people who don't want to assimilate, who don't want to find a better life here, who weren't coming because they were so disaffected in their home countries. They brought their home countries here. And this is what is happening. So many of us have seen this for a long time, and we've been trying to speak that truth. But people have lost the ability to discern. They've lost the ability to be able to tell truth from lies. I think we've talked about that before. So when people don't have a compass, a natural compass inside them, it's very easy to use them. And this is what's been happening. But now, and really, we conservative Republicans, we believing Christians, have been too quiet. We have been thinking, well, we've just got to be nice. If we're nice enough, they'll turn around and see it our way. That hasn't worked.
No.
Hasn't worked. Look how angry these people are in Minnesota. I mean, this state stands out by itself. And my personal feeling is they've been covering up for the fraud because that's now been exploding. And California's going to be next. Good.
Yes.
I welcome them.
Yeah.
Please audit. Please, Doge. So this is a great turning point. I really feel excited because I feel God's hand moving and he's turning things back to his way. And God will not be mocked. He
That's
will
right.
not. He's already won this battle. But people don't believe it. They don't receive it. But I believe things are going to get so bad that they will. You just cannot deny what's in front of us if you have the ability to discern and to reason. And that's the whole crux. That's the whole crux of it.
We go.
Didn't mean to take up too much time, but
That's good. That's good.
really exercised about this one.
What do you think, guys?
For you and for those in California, how do you address the voting
ID?
issue?
ID?
Well, voter ID. Okay, yeah, because that I. I guess that's part of I asked my other friends the same thing. If you have unreliable voting process, how do you overcome that? And I mean, outside of having a gargantuan number of votes, but for an average candidate, how do you overcome that? Because in my mind, it seems rigged to me.
It has been. What a good word, Ron. There's power in that word because this is how they have made it a one-party state. We've been a uniparty. It's been a one-party state for a long time. We can't even imagine the last time that California felt free, that we had Republican leaders, that we had
I
low
can.
taxes. Yeah, okay, yeah. But we have some good people out here fighting. We've got Susan Shelley, who's on the Howard Jarvis tax board, working for Howard Jarvis, and she is working so that they don't overturn Prop 13, because Marxists do not want you to have private property. No. Because if you have property, you have skin in the game. You count, and you can be wealthy, and they don't like that. So I think what we have to do is define our enemy, because people are still confused who the enemy is, what they believe, and what their lies are, so they can identify them and shut it out. Yeah.
I think part of the problem is we've lost trust, right? So you take probably the biggest event was Elon buying Twitter. He exposed such dishonesty. And then the media, it's followed. I mean, the legacy media continue to propagate lies or not talk about the other half at all. Like, I've seen surveys of how many times did they mention a president? Legacy media will be a ton, and the other media won't. It's like or events. They'll just ignore some of these very interesting, important events that are going on in the country. Not even mentioned. So they keep their people in the blind.
That's true. And they also, first of all, they don't give President Trump any credit at all for what he has done, which has been amazing. It's been monumental since he was first sworn in. But they don't give him any credit at all. They just cover it up or lie about it and go on to the next thing. But all these people who have died at the hands of illegal aliens because of the open borders for the last 4 years, does the legacy media even say their names? Do they talk about the angel moms that they left behind? No. So now we've got to know about the three people who were involved up in Minneapolis. And we've got to know that forever. It's like they're going to be George Floyd forever and ever. But you don't hear about Jocelyn Ungerman and the rest of them. This is the lopsided lie. And people have got to wake up. How we do that, I think we just have to be relentless in countering that lie. Have to not be that nice, believing, patriot, quiet Republican anymore. No, that time is gone.
I think you're right on the money there. I would add the entity in which God placed to restrain evil hasn't been out in public square restraining evil. I'm sorry, but there are just far too many pulpits that are completely absent of
So
anything relevant to the battle in the streets, and because of that, there are too many members of their flock who are too interested in being liked and accept it rather than confronting truth, because we've lost our stomach and our trust in the Lord. So the idea of being persecuted and disliked and on has persuaded people to just be quiet and try to get along. And the fallacy is now and has always been the case. whenever we sort of bow down and become quiet, the opposition grows and they become more and more vicious. And so the persecution
that?
Rises.
So absolutely. We tried to like coax them over to believe what we believe. They're not going to be coaxed. These people are evil.
Yes.
Or mentally ill. You know, they're just insane. And either way, we can't do anything about it. We leave them to the Lord. He'll sort it out.
Yeah. Well, again, I guess my encouragement is to folks to keep boldly but gently telling the truth, keep confronting, keep engaging, being engaged and involved, and God is going to do the work. We just need to be out there being used. I think one of the things that we miss, I think part of what we miss out on is that a lot of people have this idea that if I just kind of get the right argument and debate points together, I'll convince them that, you know, they're wrong. And I think what we miss is the fact that is, you know, we passed a point probably 40 years ago where it's not a political idea anymore. It's part of my identity. So we have these two identities. You know, you're on that side and mine is my truth and my identity. And all this is part of who I am, which is why we get this whole idea of words being violence, you know, because if you disagree with me, you're being violent toward me. So, but the problem with that is, if you are violent toward me, or you're an enemy toward me, then it's my obligation and my freedom and my ability to attack you in a way where you're no longer there. Which again goes back to, why is it okay to riot and tear things up and hurt people and obstruct people? Because again, they're hateful mongers who were trying to destroy me. Or my identity.
We have lost. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that really is good there. That old love versus hate. Love has a warm satisfaction, like Ron says, that comes from the Lord, that gives a peace and gives a joy and gives a calmness. I think it's the best word in my life, the calmness. But hate, it just fuels, like Ron was saying, that arguments generate more heat than light. Because they don't want to argue, they don't want the answers. And the more sensationalism and things that they can do in a negative fashion, and the more we respond, like you're both saying, in the love of Christ, but also with a line in the sand, God does work in these things. I forget who it was I heard today that I think it was one of the men from the cabinet, president's cabinet, and he said, what do you do with these people? And he said, you've got to, you know, love them for who they are, but remember that they're not capable of understanding truth because they're too, how do you say, too into what they believe and what they want. And he impacted New York and a couple others with future statements along that line. But I think it's true. We could put on the armor of Christ because Ephesians 6:18 is true. This is evil we're fighting, like you said.
It is.
Right? Yeah. And so, and that can only be easy for someone to do, I think, when the evil that they're facing, they realize, as you said, Jen, has already been beaten. We just have to ride the course with Christ and be strong in what we know is right and always be there like him. And boy, that's not easy except going to him every day and letting him do it through you.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This is kind of a time when sometimes I'm wordless. I stare at what's happening and I cannot believe how bad it is, how evil can be so evil without a conscience. And see, that's what I think. A totally evil person does not have a heart. I think a person who's just mixed up or is just confused, they have a heart and there's promise there and God can use that. But if someone is totally evil, like I've been watching this just too much over and over again today.
Don't watch.
you have to say, I cannot argue with that person. I cannot reason with that person. There is no great word that I have that can change their life. No, that's up to the Lord. It's up to the Lord. But he's given us everything in the Bible that is has equipped us for such a time as this.
Yes.
We are equipped.
Absolutely.
Yeah, one thought came to me, and I want to roll it back out to you, Ron, on that, and Paul. But I thought of Craig today, because there, I saw the report and was reading and following up on it. There's a doctor in Florida, a medical doctor, who, and I'm they're still checking the source, but this doctor said he will not treat, even in emergency situations, anybody who is a conservative Republican or MAGA, and he will not treat them. And of course, they were saying something like, is there not a Hippocratic oath? And I wanted to roll that over to Dr. Thayer today, tonight, and think, see what he would think of that.
Yeah, so actually, the Hippocratic Oath doesn't say that we have to treat someone. It wasn't really until the AIDS pandemic that and then the Disabilities Act made us first responders. And so we couldn't turn down being called by the ER for someone who had AIDS because we were at risk for catching that. So that was like, I think the probably late 80s, 88, 89 at that level. So it took a while. But yeah, no, I mean, it's funny because I've had this. You see someone coming in an orange outfit, shackled from head to toe with an officer. Officer can't leave them, so they got to put a bunny suit on to come in the OR. And personally, I treat a soul. I don't, you know, I got to love them. I got to treat them. I got to do the right thing. I can't be biased in any way, financially or otherwise. Some people look at, you know, what's their insurance? Oh, this one's Medi-Cal. Okay, I'm not going to get paid on this
one. Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm going to go operate. I'm going to do something, you know, save someone's life and, or not make them, you know, disabled, but better. And then, because I remember coming out and Steph goes, well, what did he do? What did he do? I go, I don't care. You know, why?
Yeah.
Just don't know, you know, be blind about it. So I think that's probably like a childhood way of looking at things because they don't know any better, right?
Yeah.
We adulterate them. Over time, we make them adults. We make them adulterated by teaching them what they should discriminate against.
You know, I think that's lovely. It brought up my devotional that I had this morning, and it was talking about a man who was on a plane, and he was watching the man in front of him read a book called Be Like Jesus. And he said when he got up, when the plane landed, he was elbowing everybody out of the way. He was, you know, getting his stuff and just, he was not being Jesus. And the man who was watching said, I realized he was wrong, but I was judging him. I was judging the fact that he wasn't like Jesus.
Yeah.
And he said, how many times have I been like that? So I think that's wonderful, Tank, what you did. And the love that's coming from you is the love of Jesus.
Yeah. Well, and then part of your story, Janet, that someone cuts you off on the freeway and the first thing you want to do is just like back or whatever. You know,
well, that's different than traffic. That's different.
Yeah. We're all forgiven for that.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe they were waving to me with one finger.
Yeah, right.
Call me number one. I'm number one. Thank you.
Yeah, number one.
But I try and be that cup half full, right? Yeah. It's like maybe they've got a small child that's in distress in the car, right? So my mind will try and think of something that there's a legitimate reason that they're doing this for and not just an idiot.
I gotta work on that.
You know what really throws people off? If they're driving and they're angry, and you can tell who's angry and who isn't just by the way they're driving, if you come at a stop sign with them and you smile and let them go ahead of you, they are thrown. They don't know what to do. They expect everybody to be as angry as they are. But it's real a blessing to do that for them. Just smile and let them go, even if they have done something wrong, cut you off or whatever. But it's kind of a nice way to bless somebody's day.
Good timing.
It was definitely hot coals in their head. I think.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name.
Oil. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, Paul?
I think it's like the moral dilemma of the guy sitting in traffic who's an atheist, and the car in front of him is holding up everything, but he has a bumper sticker that says "Honk if you love Jesus."
Yeah,
So you know, what do you do with that? I think this whole thing of the moral dilemma—it's the same thing that would in the same family anyway of what Dietrich Bonhoeffer had to contend with in World War II. What do you do with someone who seems to be inherently evil? What do you do with the Hitlers? Of course, we followers of Christ are being called Nazis, and you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is unnerving to say the least. But I think as Christians, I do think it boils down to what Joe alluded to earlier. It's Ephesians 6. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. This isn't it's not a political battle. It's a spiritual battle, and it's being waged, and we're taking a licking if we don't understand that we need to get our spiritual armor on. And part of the spiritual armor is the sword of the Spirit. Swords. Mm-hmm. Well, what do you use those for? It's certainly not a defensive weapon. It's something. And what's the sword of the Spirit? The word. The word,
yes.
And to live by the word. And I think sometimes when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's like deer in the headlights, you know, for a lot of people in the church, because what are the rules of engagement? Every war has rules of engagement, and they're either followed or they're broken, you know, one way or the other. But for Christians, what are the rules of engagement? Maybe we can talk about that. What do we do? I mean, there's a time to speak, Ecclesiastes 3. There's a time to speak, a time to shut up, a time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to dance, a time to cry. And I think part of it is and Janet, what you alluded to is that we've lost the ability to discern. I think that hits a nail on the head, you know, discern. When is it time to do what we're called to do and to have the wisdom? My feeling is wisdom comes through experience. Experience comes through walking through the stuff, you know, and who wants to walk through the stuff? Not very many people. Cause Terry Werner, when we had her a couple of weeks ago, she talked about, we're in the shallow end of the lake, you know, you know, we're called to get out in deep water. And
yes.
That's scary. So maybe y'all can give me some insights. I know that you can. That was a dumb thing. Maybe you can do it. I know you can, but maybe we can bat this around, because I think that there are believers out there that say, okay, I will. What do you want me to do? And we go, well, I read your Bible and pray and go to Sunday school and attend church and give it. I mean, those are pat answers that people are not looking for.
Yes.
Looking for, where's the meat of what we are and who we are as followers of Jesus? You know, what do we do?
Myself, Paul, I'm sorry if I interrupted
you. No, that's fine. Just take it and run.
I think each of us are given hard things in life. I mean, if you have lived in a bubble your whole life, you're not qualified for this moment in time. We've all got to go through hard things. And I think the best way we can talk to maybe would-be believers is to tell them our story, our story. So we aren't pointing our fingers and saying, you should read the Bible. You should pray every day. It's what God done in my life.
Yes.
Which is monumental. And that's the best way, I think, to convict someone that this power is real and that we're not there to judge them. I mean, we all have reason to be judged. I have reasons to be judged. And God has been so good.
That's right.
To wait for me and to mature me. And so if I just tell people that, my story, and also to, as we mature as believers, the more we rely on that moment by moment direction by God. When you say there is a moment, what do I do? Well, that's when we do that silent prayer. Lord. Open yeah. my mouth or close it.
Right. Yes. I think that brings forth that human axiom. I know I'm not going to say it right, but whenever we see people or situations, we're so quick to understand the answers to their problems
yes.
and why they're in trouble.
Yeah,
and
we here's tell the them. Reason. We want to tell them.
If you hadn't yeah. screwed up over here, you'd be okay. Right. You did this and that. And then all of a sudden, guys, well, what about you? And you go,
what about you?
I'm still taking notes, Lord.
Yeah. That yeah. mirror he puts in front of my face every day. Doggone it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my.
You know what I think people are looking for? And Paul, you might have been alluding to this because when we talk to people, they're looking for our authenticity.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Are yeah. we real? Are we real? Or are we parroting what we heard in church or in Sunday school or something? There's nothing wrong with learning and being able to say what we learned in church or Sunday school. But there is a difference between authenticity. I really am a sinner. I really have been forgiven by the Lord.
Amen.
My life must reflect that. But they'll go for the phony every time. And if you're a phony, they're not going to listen to you.
Yeah. Well, I think going
back, I wish I could give proper credit to the person who coined the phrase a conspiracy of silence.
Yes.
I do believe, you know, that's what we're wrapped up in is this conspiracy yes. of silence. And you know, consequently, it's gotten us nowhere
except right.
in a deeper
right.
hole. And, you know, go ahead, Ron. I didn't mean to step on you.
No. I along the same lines. I think I think we look at the circumstance we're in now, and somehow we have this idea that somehow it just sort of organically happened. And we moved that direction. I think we missed the fact that part of what we're seeing happening is intentional and planned. It's been going on probably since the 20s and 30s and 40s, and you know we've kind of lost the idea that you have this Marxist communist sort of threat and force that keeps moving through. We forgot about that years ago. I mean, this fantasy that it doesn't happen. Well, what we also forget is that one of the major forces against the defeat of communism, this whole Marxist revolution in the 20s, and even before that, and then in the 30s and 40s, was the church. It wasn't politicians. The revolution didn't happen here because even the communists said that the U.S. had too strong of a Christian population. Mm-hmm. So they rejected it. We rejected and defeated it. And you go, okay, so why is it now risen back and infiltrated every area of our lives? Is because mm-hmm. we don't have that. That church is no mm-hmm. longer there. And
that's
even
right.
that's by design. If you go back to the 1950s and 60s, early 60s in particular, you ask, okay, what happened to the major seminaries around the country? Both started mm-hmm. with the Catholics and then to the Protestant seminaries. You had communists and leftists who wiggle their way in and then started teaching and training folk not to engage in ways that the scripture called us to. You go, okay, what's the result of that? Well, you have a church 20 or 30 years down the line who believes that we shouldn't be out in the public and shouldn't be involved in politics and we mm-hmm. shouldn't be so abrasive that people don't like and make people mad. Instead mm-hmm. of saying, wait a minute, we don't have to take up arms. You know, it'll come to that, but we don't have to. You know, Paul says that our weapons are of our warfare mm-hmm. are spiritual. You know, it's the powerful to tearing down of strongholds of lies and precepts. Yes. In other words, we go and speak the truth consistently and boldly,
right?
And God does the work.
Right.
But if we back off and do nothing, evil flourishes.
We're here. That's right.
And we're at that point. It's like, okay, so my deal is, no, don't sit and just, you know, read your Bible, study it carefully, understand what it says, and then go out and look for ways and open your eyes to ways that God has given you opportunity. And that is school board meetings and city council meetings and all those kind of organizations, and then get involved in the election process. Absolutely. Should be involved in the election. Here's the crazy thing. I'm going to say this, and I sound really, really crazy. I don't think a single office, elective office, should be held by anybody other than a believer in Christ. If you're not, you shouldn't
amen,
be.
Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I hope I don't get in trouble for saying this, but when I founded Golden State Republican Women, it's based on the two great religions, Judeo-Christian. The Judeo-Christian, that's what God has always used. And so I didn't open it up to anybody who is Muslim. Mm-hmm. Am I getting you kicked off the air here, John?
All right, she's out, buddy.
But the thing is, it's not their fault where they're born. It's not their fault who their parents are. But they have a choice in their heart. And mm-hmm. if their choice is to please Allah by killing Christians, I don't want them in my group.
Right.
Yeah.
Unless they have renounced that.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You bet.
We're forced to do that.
That's right.
So I'm bold in the way I believe things, but I believe God wants me to be. He doesn't want me to be a wallflower. He doesn't want me to be a wuss and be right. What are we to do with what God gives us in the word that we are given in the Bible if we don't use it?
That's right. Amen.
Not good. It's the weapon of words, but if we don't use that weapon, it's worthless.
Yep.
Worthless. Just so, like you say.
So what you're saying is connecting you with Paul. If we make an analogy between, let's say, football helmet, pads, face shield, you don't put those on and sit on the bench.
Right.
Armor of God, not to sit on the bench.
That's right.
Armor of God to go out and do something with it.
That's right.
What my football coach said to me, or said to the whole team one time, he said, "You guys got nothing to worry about. You got $50 worth of protection on you." $50. I'd like to share this really quickly. I saw this wonderful thing that said, if the Apostle Paul were to look at the American church today, he would say, "Boy, are you guys going to get a letter?"
Yeah. That's funny. I love that.
And a stinging letter, maybe two.
Well, there's one with three, so there's
right. Three letters. We're about like them.
What impresses me so much with our generation, and I don't know of you guys that are with our generation, is that the disrespect. People don't even have respect for the law, for other people, for the church. I mean, 2 weeks ago, they entered the church building. And I'm just going, where have we failed? Obviously, everything that we've talked about tonight is because we were not aggressive enough, because other outside influences are impacting our younger generations, if you will. But having lived through the 60s and 70s, I didn't think I had a problem in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then life happens after that. But yeah, when I see my daughters and some others that, you know, are just so thrilled of what's going on right now in the world, it concerns
me. In what way? I'm sorry.
Politically, you know, I have a daughter.
I'll define that, if you wouldn't mind.
I have a daughter in New York City.
Yeah.
And I asked her about the new mayor.
Mayor.
Uh-huh. And, oh, yeah, it's going to be great. I said, do you understand what his platform is? Oh, it doesn't matter. It's going to be okay. I said, well, it does matter, because that is going to affect the way you look at the world, not through God's eyes, but through somebody else's eyes that doesn't have the compassion for their constituents. And the other one, her husband is, they live in Indiana, and they're totally confused. So I thought, where did I go wrong? But I taught what I could.
We've all learned through the years.
Yeah.
But I don't want to look back at yesterday and say, what did I do yesterday? You know, we just got to move forward and be grateful that God gives us the tools. And it's the best GPS ever. The Bible.
Amen.
Cannot get lost if you read that and walk it out.
Right.
Walk it and speak it and let God use you. Just infuse himself through us. So we're his hands, his feet, his words, his heart. We're everything. That is a responsibility once we read that Bible. We now have that mantle on us. It's like, go and do it likewise. Go and do likewise.
Yeah. So
that simple answer I usually throw at people. I get it a lot of times. It's so simple. It's elementary, but I think it's pretty powerful. They say, well, can you prove it? I said, yes, he will. That's it. Well, what do you mean? I said, he will. But you got to have that chain of life behind you sometimes. The ups, the downs, and the smacks in the middle that really wake you up. And the world, you can see. And they start saying something. You know, you don't want to say, been there, done that. That's their line. But, you know, when you get run over times in life, hey, God's there in the middle of it all. And it just does no good to argue. You got to live it like you're all saying.
When we actually can be thankful for the really tough times in our life. Really, really tough times. That's really where God meets us and where he teaches us and he comforts us and he loves us. We're never closer to God than when we need him desperately.
That's right. Amen. He's there.
I'm grateful for every crummy thing that's happened to me in my life.
I had one thought that speaking of those people in Minneapolis where they broke into the church, busted in doors, they said, came into the church and said some things. I found out something, and I really did a mind search on what you're all saying for myself. When they said they had kids trapped downstairs in Sunday school, would not let the parents get back to them, made it difficult, and they were telling the kids that their mom and dads were Nazis and they were all going to hell. And the little kids were scared. And I had these waves come over me, Ron, because we talked about it. One wave was, I want to bust through. They were like, Sir Galahad. Of course, I don't know if he's a Christian or not. But anyway, I want to come through there and just go after them. And then all of a sudden I thought, well, Lord, what are you doing in all this? But just a food for thought, those kids, what do you tell your kids after that? Same thing you tell people today. They're about the same level of mentality.
Yeah.
Thing I keep saying is, and I get to say it often every day, I've got such opportunities, but they meant it for evil. Like
yes.
Said, but God will use it for good.
Amen.
So as bad as this is getting, people who are ready to see, people who are ready to know Jesus, this will nudge them.
Right.
Amen.
Or they'll just take a leap.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. He's working. We got 6:52. We're just going to say one quick word here and kick it back out. Paul, you have a thought there?
No.
I was going to say, yes, I see that hand. But go ahead, Paul.
No, go, Joe. You got it.
Oh, go. Okay. Well, Steph is not able to be with us tonight. Are you on this, or you want to pitch it back?
I'll pitch it back.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, real quickly, when you do go to our website, we just want you to know how much we thank God for each one of you, as we say at the beginning each week. And it does take financing and takes funds and gifts from people like you that help us to stay on and be able to meet the costs of the most wonderful radio TV station in the world. That's BBS Radio Television and Radio. They're wonderful people, their family, but the costs are there. And we appreciate any gift that you can give. If you go to the website again, BBS Radio, there it is, bbsradio.com/raising expectations. You can see there are two things there. There's a Venmo Goody Scan. What's the real name? That's Steph's. It's called a hit the button, a QR code. There you go. That's it. It gets there, folks. But there's a QR code and there's more about there. If God leads you, I mean, if you want to give up coffee for 2 weeks and send a little whatever you can, it all goes together to make it work. Thanks so much for praying about that. We appreciate it. And maybe God will call upon you to help us this way. Thank you so much for being with us and a part of our family. We love and appreciate you. All right. Hey, Janet, it's always such a blessing to have you with us. And
you guys bless me every time. Thank you for having me.
We got a minute. Anything you want to leave us with?
Oh my God. There were so many wonderful bons from all of you. That's why I love being with you, because I learn from you. And it's
Amen.
nice to bounce things off each other. But I think what we mainly talked about tonight was the armor of God and how we're being prepared to go into this world with the belt and the truth and the shoes of peace and all the helmet. We're ready. We are ready. We are equipped. God has equipped us, so we don't have to be afraid. No matter what happens, He's equipped us.
All right. And that's it. I'm so thankful for that. Hey, Craig, how about a 30-second prayer for time? But lift Janet up for us, and we'll join our hearts with the guys, all of us.
Dear God, thank you for Janet. She is a warrior for you.
Amen.
She is a light that hopefully will bring a lot of people who have been in the darkness. Let her be a warrior in her suit of armor and continue to change people in California or anywhere she goes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Janet. God bless
Thank
you.
you so much to all of you. I
Thanks,
really do.
guys.
Thank you.
Love
Good
you
to
guys.
see
All
you.
right.
Bye.
Say hi to
Bye.
Steph.
I will.
Yes,
Oh, we're
sir.
praying
Thank
for
together. We missed her.
You'll We'll
stay
be
warm.
praying. All right. Good night, everyone. Love you guys.
Night.
Talk
Good
to you all
night,
guys this week.
everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Bye.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.